So today we're going to talk about organizational alignment, why we need it and what it means for HR. That's coming up momentarily. And here we are on the HR Hub podcast with me, Andrea Adams. Keep listening to learn about this and anything related to HR. You can also find me on YouTube. Today, my guest is Brittany Eisenman. Brittany is the founding principal of Stokefire. She has a very unusual HR background, if I do say so myself, and I've interviewed a whole number of people now, but it does give her an original perspective, which we discussed a little bit the last time. But in brief, she started out in social work and ended up advising CEOs on business strategy and organization development. Hi, Brittany, how are you?
Great to be here, doing well.
Thank you. All right. We introduced you more thoroughly last time. I'm not going to do that again this time. Can you talk about organizational alignment? What is it?
Yes. So your ability to handle what comes at your organization depends on a few things. Part of that is who you are. So the beliefs, your mission, your values, the core of who you are despite what you do. And then the environment that you're operating in. So, for example, all of us were in the environment of a pandemic a year or so ago, then also where you're headed. So this is the ultimate goal of your organization, which essentially is your mission, your ultimate mission achievement. What is that? So because of those three things, who you are, the environment that you're operating in right now, and your mission, where you are headed, we talk about organizations as a bridge. So you're the bridge to that mission, and your bridge may need to handle a whole lot. So a large organization would be like this, what is it, the Golden Gate Bridge?
Yeah.
Handle like a hurricane, plus icy conditions, plus an earthquake, plus a traffic jam with, you know, heaven forbid, tons of full cement trucks. That big organization needs to be able to handle all of that. Or if you're just a startup and you have three people in your organization, you're more like a string or a swing bridge across a creek. You need to be able to handle a little bit, and you'll build more ability to handle more as you go further along. One way to measure your ability to handle the things that your environment's going to throw at you is to not just consider your values and your messages and your actions being good at the thing you do, but how those overlap. So how the things that you say and the things that you do overlap, how the things that you do and your organizational values that you say you have, how those align. Are all of your behaviors, all the things you're doing, absolutely in line with your values? And then is everything you're saying aligned with what you're doing and also with your organizational values? Each of those overlaps are measurable, but all three, when they're in full alignment, that's what we at Stokefire call structural integrity. You're not just resilient. You don't just have traction to go fast in one direction. You're not just sustainable. You're able to handle whatever the heck storm comes your way, even storms and pressures that are flipping over your competitors, because you're in total alignment. You've woven your values into absolutely everything you do, and you can't be taken down because of that. So when I talk about organizational alignment, I'm talking about those three elements: your mission and values, the communications function of your organization, and being really good at what you do. Those three things being fully aligned. That's where the strength comes from in your organization.
Okay. So most organizations, okay, maybe not most, but a lot, they go through the exercise of identifying their vision, their mission, their values. You've talked about this. Is it critical to have those things super well identified?
Once you're big enough that you know that you're onto something, it's important to get these established. But if you're a startup just, you know, doing market research and trying to figure out, okay, this thing that I'm bringing out into the world, is it even needed? What's the competition? What are people willing to pay for it? At what stage are they? You know, when you're exploring all that and you don't know for sure that this is something the world needs, then there's not so much your need for your mission, vision, and values. You don't need to so much be focused on structural integrity at all, really. You just need to find out, do I have a thing here? But once you get to the point where you have a revenue stream, you're a going concern, you absolutely have proven out through the market that there's a need for this, then yeah, you need to know where you're headed, what you're doing, what good you want to be doing out in the world, what will be changed when you ultimately achieve your mission. And you need to understand your values, why you have those values, and if they can get you to your mission. There are thousands of choices when it comes to having values, and all values have the ability to get you somewhere. That doesn't mean they can get you to your mission. So you need to be able to measure that. Is this the right value for our organization to get us to our mission right now?
Well, that is a big question. Once they've identified the values that are near and dear to get their heart, how do you make sure that they're well connected to them, to achieving the mission?
Yeah, so I think of these like legacy values. So often the founder, these were things that were very close to their heart. And so they built an organization where it also reflects their heart. And so we have these values that are very good mirror, essentially, of who we want to be. But like I said, we need to know that they can take us where we want to go. So most of the organizations that pull us in aren't looking to establish their values. They want to, what we call, load test their values. The words that we have that we're calling our organizational values, can they get us to this mission, which is also a set of words that means a lot to us and is the good that we want to do in the world. So in Stokefire, we form a workshop around this with a few top executives, usually between 5 and 7. And we take essentially their values through a series of filters. It is not a fun experience. But by the end, you see every single one of your values, all of its strengths, where it can get you, and all of the boundaries it creates. So something we don't talk about is that values are limiters. I'll give you an example. If I'm a manufacturer, and I have quality as one of my values. And when I drill down and I talk about that value, I mean quality of product. That's what I'm talking about. I cannot send anything out my door with any defects or any weaknesses that I'm aware of. Because I said my value is quality. And the moment I go against that value, I'm pulling out of structural integrity. Because it doesn't matter that I said that it's a value as soon as my behavior is against it. Now, sometimes we're going to have wobbles, you know, that something's going to happen you aren't aware or you couldn't do anything about it. That's fine as long as you come back to centering on your behaviors and what you say aligns with your values. But if you say something, you have to act within it and not outside of it.
How do you know when an organization has actually landed on their true values, the ones that are going to help them achieve their mission?
Yeah, the clearest way they can do is load test the values. So essentially ask a series of questions and have them answer and see how far the value can get through that filter set. On their own, without doing that, you need to decide, step one, what does this word mean to people? Because if we start there, and this word, quality, means something different to, let's say, our three groups of employees. Let's say we have the hourly employees that are, you know, on the floor. We have our professional supervisors, and then we have the office staff. If they all understand quality is different, then that is a problem that I have to correct then. If we all have the same definition, then I need to look at our processes, our policies, our procedures. Are those backing up our value? Are those helping us get to the place where our words and our actions support this value every time, systemically, as much as possible?
When you're helping an organization go through their values, get to their values, what steps do you follow?
So Linden's Lens, the model we use, we have assessments that we can build from it to get information like, does everyone understand this value in the exact same way? Do people even know that we have values? So step one is often sending out a survey to part or all the employees, depending on, you know, the type of work we're doing, but find out a snapshot of where we are right now, as far as your different stakeholder groups understanding your mission and your values as they are today. And we walk into the workshop with the executives with that awareness. That's where we start. And we don't enter that room with the executives with them being blind. As soon as we have information about what's going on, we let them know, because it's hard to process some of this stuff, especially when we have those legacy values that mean a lot to us, you know, at the feeling level, the heart level, and we hear hard messages. Before we learned to do this, to prep executives at what we're finding, instead of just dumping the ice bucket on them in that room when they're in front of all their peers, we had an organization where we had maybe 57, 58 findings. We didn't prep them ahead of time too much. And one of the findings was that it was hard for the employees to be proud to work there because the building was falling apart. And from the outside, it was just embarrassing to like have your car parked there and then walk into the building and that be your work, and to say that that was where they worked because everybody in the community knew what the building looked like. The executive had been there for decades. It was the only job location that the top executive at the company had worked at. So we get blind to our environment. I mean, we do it in our houses all the time.
Yeah.
Pile of laundry in the corner. It's been there for 2 months. I don't even know what it is anymore. And so that was the hardest thing. And to me, it was barely worth even putting in the report because there was so much else. That line took him out for weeks emotionally. It took him a very long time to process that. And it was multiple meetings with him to help kind of bring him back to the table. So sometimes we can really be triggered. It's really heavy to hear some of these things, especially when they're unexpected. So first step is just build awareness about what's going on. And then walk your values through the filters and all of the pain that comes with that.
So I can't help but be curious about these filters you're talking about. Can you give an example?
Yes. So step one, what does this word mean? Let's say dependability is a value of my organization. So maybe that means we honor our commitments, both those stated and those unstated. Let's say that's what the executive team believes it means. Now, I've done the assessment with, you know, different stakeholder groups, you know, employees, you know, ex-employees, community, whatever. I will be able to pull in what it means to everyone else, or the 70 definitions that I got. And we'll be able to see, okay, does everyone understand this the same, roughly the same, or not? If not, this is a problem we need to address if we're going to keep this. Another filter would be, why does this value matter to us? And like I've been referencing, it has to be more than just it means a lot to us. It reflects the founder's heart if we want to get to our mission. So again, I'll use dependability as an example. It matters because our word is our bond. If we don't keep it, we don't keep our employees, our clients, our leaders, or anything. So if dependability is my value, that's why it matters, is because our words matter. That's essentially what we're saying. Let's see. I will give you one more example.
Yeah, maybe just one more.
Another one would be... what would happen essentially if we don't have this as a value? So if we don't have dependability as a value, without it, we don't deliver. It'll take a while, but people will realize that we don't do what we say we'll do, and we will lose them. So without dependability, that's what happens to our organization. We have a series of a bunch, which, you know, we've gained. There's math and science between all the overlaps that we use. But we've also looked at, you know, hundreds of organizations through Stoke Fire's lifespan. And we have pulled in from that expertise as well. That's where these filters come from. So not only validated in the research, but validated out in workplaces as well.
Yeah. Like these workshops you do with executives, do they get wording fatigue? I do hear, you know, sometimes clients say like, we're just going to, you know, talk about words and we're going to spend hours agonizing over the right word and it isn't that valuable. What are your thoughts?
Yeah. Stokefire tends to attract visionary leaders that come to us to help to solve problems. We aren't very good at focusing on the things that maybe would just make you look good or feel good. We're very good at helping you figure out what is the actual impact and effectiveness of what you're doing. So for visionaries that have a huge mission that they want to go after, or they have this deep problem they absolutely want to uproot from their community, they pretty quickly get invested in our process because we're not going anywhere but there. Our specialty is getting to like the nut of the problem. We think we know what's causing our problems, especially in HR, because we see things over and over. We can decide, okay, I know why that's happening. It's because X, Y, or Z. But with Stokefire, we get underneath all of the obvious or intuitive conclusions, and we get to what's actually happening so that you can actually solve problems. And there are clients that came to Stokefire in like the early aughts that still use our work in their organizations today, even though pretty much everyone is different. The employees are different, or they may even be doing a different thing. But because we got to the truth and they can still depend on those findings.
Then what? You get your mission. You have a clear mission. You have clear values. Does that mean you are now aligned, or what are the next steps towards alignment?
Yeah. So for this process, then it's putting behavior behind what the heck you just said that you were going to do. So policies, procedures, programmatic, you start working through that and you don't have to do it right away. It's a long process for long-term results, but yeah, start with your policies and procedures, work through all of the policies and procedures you have today and see, all right, these are our values. This is our mission. This is our vision for the next 5 years. Does this absolutely support that or not?
All right. We've hardly talked about HR at all. Really, we haven't. What is HR's role in all of this?
HR is going to see misalignments often before anyone else does. Absolutely before the executive team does. When we're talking about organizational misalignment, I absolutely think about HR as the canary in the coal mine. Whether they're aware or they're not, and I hope more and more HR are aware of the power that they have with this, but they're seeing the effect of misalignment well before that effect makes its way upwards. So essentially into the numbers so that executives see it too. So when HR is not only at the table, but involved in setting strategy, involved in weighing out the values, then they can interpret right away when they're seeing something in the workforce, they can follow that thread back to what is the misalignment. Because if we're acting and speaking in our values, there won't be misalignments. So you're not going to have the negative impacts of those.
So much to think about. Okay, final question. You can probably almost see the wheels turning in my head. Anyway, where can someone learn more about all of this? What would you suggest?
Stokefire.com. We talk about our assessment and the different ways that we can customize it. We talk about the problems that we solve, but really what we're good at is if you have a massive goal, and you want to get there and everyone says you're crazy, or if you've had a problem for 30 years and absolutely everything you've tried, all of the consultants that you brought in couldn't really solve it for the long term, that's what we excel at. So stokefire.com, you'll see what we're doing. Our blog, though, will give you some of the stories behind what we're doing and the impact that we can have for you, too, if you're facing one of these things.
Well, thanks, Brittany. That genuinely gave me a lot to think about. want to think about that whole idea that HR is the canary in the coal mine, and in particular that we see it. And if you're seeing it, and when I'm seeing it, that isn't something to ignore if you can. So can't think about this anymore right at this particular second, although I will later. We have reached the end of the episode. Thanks for listening out there, and we'll catch you next time when I talk with another insightful guest.